Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Lift up your hearts with joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Seated for the reading. Our lesson for this evening is recorded in the first letter of St. John, the second chapter, beginning with verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Here ends our reading. Thanks be to God. Here again, the final words of our lesson for this evening. St. John writes by inspiration, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, if you ever get a chance to go to the Eagle Center, which is located in Wabasha, Minnesota, I would encourage you, maybe some of you have been there. It's quite a fascinating place. And you can observe eagles in their habitat along the Mississippi River through long telescopes. But in addition to that, they have a number of them that are right there present inside of the building. This summer I had the opportunity to watch one of them just 10 feet from me go after its food and rip apart its prey for supper one night. It was really a pretty fascinating thing. And to see the size of those claws, they're the size of a human hand, and how sharp they are. Oftentimes eagles will dive out of the sky once they see what they want down in the water, a fish or something, and will just suddenly drop like a rock into the water to grab and hang on to their prey. The eagle, we're told by experts who study them, doesn't have to be taught how to hunt. That young eagles, as they come out of the nest, just naturally have this instinct in them. There's a drive that's just built in inside of them that has to go and seek for something. One of the old church fathers used to use the imagery of an eagle or a hawk in this way, that the heart of each individual human being naturally inside of it has this drive that has to latch on to something. Our hearts and our souls and our minds just naturally want to grab something and pursue it and hunt it down and possess it and take possession of it and dive for it. St. John is warning us about that when it comes to the things of this world. He says, "All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So many of the blessings that God gives us in life that by themselves are good and pure and wonderful things can be perverted and corrupted by this world and by our sinful hearts. And how we chase them and how we pursue them and what we want to do with them can become so sinful and ultimately destructive for us. What is the prey in this world that my heart or your heart looks at and wants to latch onto? What are the things in your life that you want to chase, that you want to hunt down, and that you think you're going to have to grab to be happy with, that really in the end are destructive? St. John warns us about the lusts of our flesh. And isn't that often the case when we're young, the sexual desires that can be inside of us, and how we think we're going to find such happiness there, and that if we hunt that and find that and grab onto that, that will be the thing that will give us lasting pleasure. Maybe it's other things you can do with your body, whether it's through alcohol or drugs or things like that, or having a carefree attitude about the things of your body. Maybe it's an awesome career. Maybe God's blessed you with some tremendous intellectual gifts. Maybe you are heading off on a trajectory toward a phenomenal career in something. And the possibility of the money you could earn and the riches you could get from that, or maybe the notoriety and the pride that you could have from that. These things are all carcasses that our eyes can look at and our bodies naturally want to dive toward and latch the claws of our souls and our hearts into them, but they are dead and they are worthless. St. John says the world is passing away and the lust of it. But the more we land on them and pounce on them and try to make them the place where we're going to find our happiness and what's important to us in life, the more we dig our claws into them, the harder it is to let them go. I remember years ago, a man in my neighborhood. His wife happened to belong to our church, and she tried and tried and tried to get her husband to come to church with her. But the thing that he always had to do on Sunday morning that kept him from ever wanting to hear the Word of God or caring about Christ was his amazing lawn. And he had a killer lawn. Man, that guy had shrubs that were just phenomenal. How silly those things are going to seem on Judgment Day when he has to stand before God and describe to him that that's the stuff he had his claws into rather than in Christ and in the salvation won for him on the cross. St. John's point to us tonight is this. There is nothing in this world that you can pursue that you can go after. Even the things that are blessings from God initially. But there's nothing in this life that you can pursue that is worth losing your salvation over. That God has so graciously granted you as one of his children through faith in Christ. But this is always a perpetual challenge for God's faithful in this world. When we read these words and hear them tonight, they just hit us just exactly the way they hit John's audience back then. Every generation of Christians has had to deal with this. Every single one of us. It's a problem for all of us because we live in this world and heaven seems so far away and it seems so distant from us right now. It's so easy for us to forget about how important it is of what our Lord has done for us through the work of our Savior. And so the Holy Spirit, who has called you to faith, who has sprinkled his holy water on top of you to make you his child, has given you a longing for heaven, has already, because of what Christ has done for you, reserved a spot for you in heaven. That same Holy Spirit now gives you and me this warning. And that is to release our claws from the garbage of this life and all the stuff in this world that's going to decay. The final words of our text are kind of hard to hear at first when you look at them. It says, "He who does the will of God abides forever." Do I do the will of God thoroughly, 100%? That can sound like kind of a terrifying passage. But in the context of what Scripture is teaching us, through repentance of our sins, and through our trust in Christ that the Holy Spirit instills in our hearts, we do fulfill the will of God. You already have, because his righteousness is full and complete, and you possess that now by faith in him. So he who does the will of God, that is you, faithful Christian, abides forever. And God now calls upon you, his child, to take your claws out of the things of this life and to lift your eyes away from this world, heavenward. Dr. Walther said, when it comes to the children of God in this life, their bodies are on earth, but their hearts are in heaven. There's a reason that the Lord Jesus didn't stay here and why he ascended to heaven with his local mode of presence. And that is because this isn't where he wants you to stay living. He went to heaven on purpose to prepare a place for you and also to draw your hearts and mine away from all the stuff in this world that's ultimately fading away. And so set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things of God above. If you want something to hunt in life, hunt what is everlasting. Amen.
like to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Because with our hymn 584.